I wanted to think about Ephesians 6 and 16. We studied in Bible study here on Wednesday night. Sister Marie brought some thoughts about the last half of the sixth chapter of Ephesians. And the 16th verse says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It just seemed like this afternoon, if the Lord would, you know, it was just so inspiring to me. But you know, the Lord has given us a shield of faith that I believe is valuable, and it works, and it will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So tonight I just want us to think a little bit about faith and about the Lord working with us and arming us to be able to fight the good fight of faith. In Hebrews 11 and 1, I want us to kind of hold that thought because faith, it says above all, when it goes down through here listing all the armor of God, and it tells us to put on the whole armor, all of it, to take the breastplate of righteousness and all of those things, the sword of the Spirit, and we know which is the Word of God, and we learn to use that, and we learn how effective that is on the enemy when it's used rightly, when we learn to use it. But you know, it says here, above all, take the shield of faith. And I believe when I was reading and I did some studying, I studied this chapter too. And as far as what Clark says, he says they had a shield, the Grecians and the Romans, maybe both of them. But they had a shield that was oblong that just kind of went over the whole body. And they would hold it up, and even though they had all this other armor on, that shield would just shield them from a lot. And so tonight, I want us to think a little bit about having confidence in God. That faith that we're reading about is something that we believe that God is in control. We believe that God will work for us. We believe that He has saved us. And you know, that confidence in the Lord is something that when it comes to the battles of life, I believe that we'll see the enemy put to flight if we hold our faith steadfast unto the end. In Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, you know, it says here several things. It says by faith is the substance of things hoped for. I think we all kind of understand that, most of us, that we don't have what we're hoping for yet. Maybe we're praying for it, we're praying for an added blessing, we're praying for something we need from the Lord, but by faith we believe in God that He's going to give us the things that we need. And it goes on to say, by it the elders obtained a good report. You know, I was thinking about a report card. The children come home and there's a little report every so often that tells how they've been doing in school. And you know, this says by faith the elders obtained a good report. I think about the faith that they had that caused them to obtain that report. They believed that God was with them, and so they continued on. When you read through Hebrews and see the different things people went through, we was visiting with Sister Imogene this afternoon, And we began to talk, several of us there, about Job and some of the things that he went through. And you know, you look at Job's life, it's just staggering, the things that Job endured. But you know what? He had a confidence in God. And by that confidence in God, he did not curse God and die. By that confidence in God, he didn't throw his hands up and say, "There can't be a God." Or "Why did God deal with me in this way?" And Sister Imogene, as afflicted as she was, we were talking about it, and she said, "I don't think I have anything like he had." You know, he had boils from the top of his head, doesn't it say, to the bottom of his feet? And that was just in the physical. And then he had all of his goods taken away practically. And then his wife told him to curse God and die. And the ones that came to encourage him began to accuse him. And he endured all of those things. You know why? Because he believed. He said, "I know in whom I have believed." Wasn't that Job that said that? And different things that you see. When Job began to recount his life, he knew he had not sinned against God. He looked at the different things and the Lord didn't accept all that justification, but Job did know in his heart, I have not sinned against God. Has there been a poor person at my doorstep that I didn't help? And Job began to enumerate these things. But you know what? In the end, he said, "I wish I could talk to God face to face," but he couldn't. He couldn't get there. He was just suffering for several years, it seems. I'm not sure the length of time. I've heard different estimates on the account of time. But you know, for a long time, Job was in that condition, and his faith anchored him through it. And so I just want us to think tonight, God wants us to have a measure of faith. By our faith and confidence in God, we can face the things that come against us and come out on the other side, because we're not going to quit. I know that God is. I know He's going to help us through. And the Lord, I believe, wants us to take that kind of confidence. "I know my Redeemer liveth. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. How do we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God? Anybody seen it? We believe that by faith, don't we? I believe that God spoke and said for the world to come into existence. And it happened. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what processes He put in place, but I believe that. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, just in the everyday of life, every one of these people that we talk about, that we look back on, we talked about a little bit this afternoon, Joseph. And you know, Joseph had to believe in God. He had to have a measure of faith, that in spite of all of his circumstances, he continued on. By that faith, he received a good report. By that faith, when he came to die, I believe the Lord received him. I believe he had a reward coming because he believed God and he held on by faith. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 13 is another scripture. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." We also believe, and therefore speak. You know who this was talking about? "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." That was a psalm that's quoted. Maybe we'll read that here in a minute. But I want to look up above this, starting at verse 7. And it says here, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. You know why we're not destroyed, saints? You know why Job could endure those things? Because he believed God. Because he settled his eyes on God. I believe there's some things that have to do with faith. I believe that all through Job's life, he yielded to the Lord. And he set a foundation for him for the time that he came to. He had many experiences with the Lord before that time. And Job's faith took him through. But Paul says here, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. How could we not be distressed? How could we not be just distressed all to pieces? Because we believe that God is in everything that happens. Can our faith reach up and take a hold of that and believe that God will do that for us, that He will take care of us in all of our needs? We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith. Now see, he's reaching back there to those that went on before. There was a writer that wrote that. He said, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Maybe we'll look back to Psalms 116 and 10 and read that. It says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Starting at verse 1, we'll read just a little bit about what this was. But the psalmist here says, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him. As long as I live, the sorrows of death come past me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. You ever been in that kind of place? Have we ever been in a place where the sorrows of death compassed us about, and it just seemed like the pains of hell get hold upon me? I found trouble and sorrow. Well, this writer said he did. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. That seems to me like that takes a little bit of faith to say that. Now, I don't know if he said that right in the middle of it, but I believe he probably did. It says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then the verse that we started with, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And you know, the psalmist tells us how the Lord delivered him. But there was a time previous to this where he tells us about the sorrows of death compassing him. He had faith in that time. I just want to encourage us tonight. I believe the Lord just inspired us with a little bit here about faith and confidence in God. That faith is confidence. That confidence causes us to stand when things don't look good. Sometimes we may feel everything is going great and it's pretty easy to stand then. But it's not too easy when everything's against us. And the Lord wants us to have faith in Him. In Romans, I didn't read as far as I was planning to read there. I'm going to finish this out. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You know, this psalmist says he'll offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's pretty easy to do when everything's done. But I really believe that a part of faith is to say things that the Lord, a sacrifice sometimes that the Lord would like for us to say. Offer thanksgiving to the Lord. We all have many things to be thankful for. Starting with the smallest things, our food. You know, it takes a measure of strength and faith and confidence to just begin, Lord, I just want to thank You. I want to thank You that I'm Your child. And I want to thank You for my food. Lord, I appreciate that. I want to thank You that I've got a place to live. You know, all of that is a part of it. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. I want to look at Romans 10 and 17. I was thinking a little bit, how does faith come? And the Bible tells us here, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear something, when we hear the word of the Lord, I know that increases our faith. I know this is part of it. But I'm just thinking about the broad picture. How do we increase our faith? How do we have faith when we don't feel like we have faith? Because that's where we get sometimes. Lord, why? There's so much happening maybe at times in our life it's like that. Why? Why? What can I do to get out of this? You know, it says here, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You know, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, when we begin to meditate on the word of the Lord, on the things He's done for others, on the 11th chapter of Hebrews, when we begin to think about the things that the Lord has done for us in the past, you know, I believe that's all part of building up our faith. I was thinking a little about how that when we get in close places, and I believe that many times we lose the most when we get in close places and we don't take the Lord's way all the way. When we yield to our flesh, whatever that is, and kind of take our own way, you know what a loss we take to our faith? Because I believe that if we do God's will and we trust Him in the way He wants us to trust Him, I believe He'll stand in for us. He'll be there. And when the next trial comes along, we'll be ready for it. Because the very reason He sent the smaller trials before was to get us ready for the big trial. But many times, we don't see the value of standing really careful before the Lord in all the the things of our life as we go. So I just want to encourage us tonight. Faith is something that is built. It don't just totally just fall upon us. But as we live for the Lord and as we walk with Him, I believe our faith will be increased. I was thinking about Romans, the 5th chapter, as well. And I know we've heard this a lot of times, but to me, this is how faith comes to pass. It says, therefore, 5:1 of Romans, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I just want us to think a little bit this evening. This hope that this is talking about, to me, it's a lot like faith. It is encompassed, I believe, in faith. The fact that we have hope. And so he said, I believe Paul had been down the road a while when he wrote this. And he said, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. There's a work that goes on in our trials. And I believe that when we submit to the Lord, and he sends tribulation into our life, and we submit not to the enemy, but we submit to the fact that the Lord has sent tribulation in my life. And we become okay with that. Lord, you sent this, you've allowed this into my life. It's here. And I'm going to serve you faithfully while it's here. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to do my duties. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to service. I'm going to do those things, even though I don't feel like any of it. I'm going to do that. And you know, I believe Paul found that those tribulations were something God had allowed on purpose because he wanted to do something in his life. And I think we'll find the same thing. And so when we are faithful in those things, I believe that's God's way of getting us ready for the next thing he allows into our life. I don't think that the Lord will allow something into our life. I do not believe he will do that. My experience is that he prepares us for those things that he allows into our life before they come, if we're faithful. If we're not faithful, and if Joseph, I believe if Joseph back there would have, when he got thrown into the well, become bitter at his brothers and realized they're selling me into a strange land. This is not fair. And he would begin to in his mind, let this consume him until he got a real bitterness about those things. Do you know, there's not a doubt in my mind God could never have used him the way he wanted to use him. God was preparing him. He was preparing him, and he had a grand plan all the way through. And if Joseph had not stayed faithful, he would have never been able to experience the things the Lord had. So I just want to encourage us tonight to stay faithful to the Lord. When the Lord allows things into our life, keep sweet about it. Get on our knees until we humble ourselves to the point that, Lord, you've allowed this in my life. I don't know why, but Lord, I'm going to crumble under it, under your hand, and I'm just going to be held by your grace, even though nothing is just the way I want it to be, even though it just seems like I can't go on or whatever. You know what? We can go on. We can go on. We can thrive and prosper, not because of ourselves, but because God has what we need. He has the strength we need, and he's preparing us for the next thing. He's preparing us ultimately for heaven. And so he knows there's some things we need to go through. There's some things that we need to have chipped off of us. There's some things we need to drop. And so the Lord begins to work with us. And you know what that begins to do? Because it's not just happenstance. Because there is the hand of God in it. It begins to build our faith. And it begins to work with us. It begins to shape us into the image of God. And as we allow God to do that, the scripture says that tribulation works patience. And after a while, we have a lot more patience than we had before. Lord, it's not going like I want it to be. That's okay. I still love you. I want to serve you. I'm going to do all the things that I know to do to please you well in all things. And then we find out that that patience, it works a work in our life, doesn't it? And then it works experience. Patience works experience. A few of those kind of trials, you know, after a while, it's passed. All those trials always pass. After a while, almost everything fades into distant memory after a little while. It's part of God's plan. It does that if we allow it to. And then we have that experience that we know, you know what, God took me through that. I didn't have any strength, and He took me through, and I'm still saved. And you know what, the next time something comes along, and we have a little greater faith for it, we have a little greater faith for it because we were faithful in the little things that God brought into our life. I can see Joseph when he came up to some of those areas after he had trusted God a while. I can see him looking at those things and thinking, you know what? I'm in God's hands. Yeah, it was depressing, I'm sure, when he got thrown back into prison and all those things. But Joseph had begun to see God's hand work. And I believe that that had begun to build his faith, began to build his faith. It'll work the same for us. I just want to encourage us tonight to let patience have her perfect work in our life. Patience works experience, and experience works hope. Hope is very similar. Faith and hope just go together, doesn't it? We believe, we have hope. You know why? Because God's helped us in the past. But I just want to encourage us to be faithful in those little areas. Because if we're not, then it destroys our faith. It really does. And so we begin to have a real trial of faith. I didn't go through that like God wanted me to. I didn't humble myself. And now I find myself struggling, fearing the next battle. And when we humble ourselves, the Lord pours His grace out on us. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, the Lord has made a way for us to make heaven our home. We don't have to get up there and be disappointed and ashamed. We don't have to come to the end of our way and say, I couldn't make it. Because hope, it says, maketh not ashamed. The Lord's going to give us grace, saints, all of us. Some are in every kind of... I just realized there's always probably going to be... Some are going to be in deep need while somebody else is soaring in the clouds. Before long, they're going to be in deep need and somebody else is going to be soaring. And you know what? That's the way it is with life. Be faithful. Be faithful where God has put us. The love of God is to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. The Lord wants us to take courage and believe and have faith. When we read over in Hebrews the 11th chapter, I know so many times we've all read that. We've heard it many, many times. But it says there in 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Now how can we have faith when we feel faithless? But He says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's kind of hard to be diligent and to be faithful if we don't think there's any use in it, isn't it? But if we will serve the Lord and be careful in our walk with the Lord, I believe we'll find our faith increasing through life. Some of those that I've watched come down toward the end of the way, and they have all these experiences in the past. Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. You know what that was? That was the Lord's process of getting them ready for what they were going to face later on. Even in verse 4 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How did that take faith? Because he believed God. Cain evidently, did he not believe God? I can't understand what Cain was thinking. God was talking to him and he wouldn't respond. He was that selfish, that self-centered, that unbelieving, that he didn't think the God that put his parents out of the Garden of Eden would not deal with him harshly if he disobeyed. And yet it says Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by faith. He did that. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And it goes on to talk about by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What if Noah had not have done what God had said? But Noah believed God. And when God spoke to him, he began to build an ark on dry land. He just began to do that because God said, do it. You know, when the Lord begins to deal with us, and we know it's the Lord. Noah knew it was the Lord. I don't believe there was any question in his mind. God spoke to him, and he knew that. And when we know it's the Lord, let's don't hesitate to do what God has told us to do. Let's don't hesitate in the battle that we're in to do what God has told us to do. That's an act of faith. Noah acted by faith, and it says here, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. His house was saved because he believed God. His house was saved. His whole family was saved because Noah believed God and he had faith and confidence in the Lord. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went not out. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And I find connected in all of these ones an obedience to the word of God, to what the Lord had told them. And I want to say just a few words to that. Abraham, the Lord called him, and he told him to go out. And he didn't tell him really where he was going or what was going to happen in his future. He didn't know. But it says he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Many times I believe it's our obedience that brings faith. Faith and obedience is closely tied together. It is very closely tied together. When we obey the Lord, I believe that he, as the master of our situation and our life, he's building our faith. And when we obey him, our faith begins to be built. And then the Lord's able to work in our life. I can see Abraham as he began to go and God began to work for him. He began to see the Lord's hand in things. I believe the next thing that came along, then he had a little more faith for. And so we see that working. I believe that obedience is crucial. It's like the centerpiece of faith. If we want to have faith in God, let's be obedient to him. Let's don't hold back in unbelief. Many people, I'm convinced, that is what they have done, has held back in unbelief. And therefore, they have not had faith to serve God. But I believe the Lord, if we'll believe Him and put our hand in His, like Caleb and Joshua did when all the others were saying, "There's giants, we can't, we can't." They knew they couldn't, but they believed God could. And if we'll have that same faith, I don't care what it is that happens, Lord, if you'll just help me, I'll do it your way. If you'll give me grace, I'll do it your way. Doesn't matter what it is. And if we'll have that kind of a spirit about us, you know what? The Lord, I believe, has our life in His hand. Every one of us. He has His hand on the controls. And I believe He wants to take us to heaven. And He'll do that if we'll let Him. Amen.